welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today in the studio is the producer, Pat.
Hello.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
I'm doing pretty good. I've noticed that Steve.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Steve is looking nice and crisp as well, too. I like the tie. I like that going on there. And he has gel.
He has gel today.
I'm trying to match the laundered look.
Fresh iron. There you go. But the gel works well. And, of course, Chris is smiling. Oh, my goodness. We have a program. So you see, they're not working with me today. They're just like, you know, I'm like, okay, all right. Okay.
Are these really the jokes?
Okay.
Or is there more coming?
So, Pat, what are you talking about today? Share with us what the Lord, come on, talk to us. We have such an exciting, so much stuff to share with you today. We've been talking on several programs about hunger for God, love for Him being the foundation of any work that we're going to attempt to do for Him. I think that's a good idea. But it's not just a good idea. It's the right thing to do. It's Scripture. He says, listen, return back to your first love. But, you know, we're going to continue to share about just the amazing blessing, the amazing opportunity that God gives us to be in relationship with Him, and some of the things that can happen when we just take that for granted, mm-hmm. and we think we've got God figured out. I don't know what is it about man that always wants to put God in some sort of box. You know, mm-hmm. we were made in God's image. You know, God wasn't made in our image, and we love to give God human characteristics, but God is not a human being. We're human beings.
Right.
He is a spirit. We're human beings. So we need to relate to Him. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know what I mean? He is a spirit. And hopefully we get a chance to talk more about that too as well. But, you know, Lord laid on my heart, you know, that oftentimes when we're speaking to folks and maybe to young people, maybe you've been told, like, hey, you know, you've got a purpose in life, and, you know, we train children all their life to go to school, to get an education, to do what? To get a job right? Mm-hmm. You know, 12 years, you know, you get 12 grades, then you got to go to college, and then there's graduate school, then you're going to maybe get your doctorate, or maybe you're going to go to, you know, become a doctor, a lawyer, what have you. And we train children, and we teach children to get a job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we tell them you got to have a purpose, and so you have some young people that they're like stressed out because they haven't figured out what they're going to do with their entire life. I'm in the 11th, I'm in the 10th grade, I'm in the 5th grade, and I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I don't know what job I'm going to do, this one job. And most people in college, I mean, first 2 years, they have no idea. Some people take 6 years, 8 years to finish because they don't know what they're going to do with their life.
Yeah.
And there's such an amazing amount of pressure for people to try to figure this thing out, when I think that we should just tell, and particularly believers, hey, why don't you just relax for a little bit? Understand that God, He's writing a story here.
Mm-hmm.
Relax. In fact, He's been writing, He's always existed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But the story on earth is about 6,000 years old. And over a 6,000-year period of time, He's allowed you this little, you know, blip to come up on the screen.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so maybe you may live 50, 30, 70, maybe 100 years. But in that small vapor called life, you can experience some extreme highs. Mm. You can experience some extreme lows. But understand that He's writing a story. He's writing a story, and the most important thing for you to do, no matter what age or what stage you are in life, is to love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to do whatever is before you as if you're doing it unto Him. That's what Colossians says. Do your work as if you're doing it unto the Lord.
Right.
So many people are trying to define themselves by what they do for employment, and they're not giving God any credit, as opposed to whatever they do,
mm-hmm.
sweep, attorney, doctor, whatever, you know, cook, whatever. You're doing it unto God. And so live in that moment. And so God is writing a story, and understand that he has a script for you, right? This is what I would tell him. God has a script for you. He's writing it out, and it works really, really good, this story, when you cooperate with the writer of the story. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because you have a role to play. There's other characters that are going to come into your life. They're going to play a role, you know, and you have to interact with them, but you got to keep God at the forefront. God, what do you want me to do at this season in my life? What do you want me to do in this act, this chapter of the story, and do it wholeheartedly?
Yeah.
But oftentimes we get in trouble. We get in trouble when we reach over and say, God, I just don't like this season, this chapter, this act that I'm in right now. Can you give me the pen? I'm ready to be the superhero. I'm ready to be I'm ready to do this thing in my life. And God's like, not ready.
Yeah.
Not ready. I'm working on your character. Literally, I'm working on your character in this play, in this story that I'm drawing, and I'm developing. If you ever watched a movie or a drama, you'll realize that the person was on a journey. At one point of the person's life, they were, you know, washing dishes maybe, or they were just, you know, doing whatever. And then as the story progresses, you see that through a series of events, through different circumstances that happened in their life, one thing led to the other, and then, you know, they became a king, or they became the president, or they became whatever. When people, you know, you can't put the cart before the horse. It's like, slow, settle down here. Don't be in a race to try to achieve something in your own flesh, but enjoy the present. I think a lot of times people are robbed from being fully present in their life, from being fully engaged in what is set before them, because they're never satisfied and they're looking over the fence to what's next or what I can be doing or all these lofty ideas. And it's like, dude, do that. You know what I'm saying? You ain't even ready for that. Yeah. You know, if God said yes now, you'd fall apart. You'd lose it in a second.
Wow. All
right. Enjoy where you're at on the journey to where you're going. To where God, he's developing the story. He's developing the character. He's developing it. So you're going to experience some great things. Don't be tempted to snatch the pencil, the pen out of his hand and try to write your own role in.
All right.
Because you know what? You're not the writer. Mm-hmm. He's the writer of the story. He's the one that knit you in your mother's womb. He's the one that knew you before the foundations of the earth. He's the one that knows what your tomorrow is going to look like before you do. So it's important that we inquire of him. And to relax a little bit and to enjoy what he's developing in our life. And when we do that, we can be fully present. We can be fully engaged. We can allow God to develop our character and who we are as he progressively brings us into the future. And I think about, you know, oftentimes where people get tempted to pick up God's pen is when they experience, Pat, tremendous tragedies. You know, Steve, when they think it's a tragedy, it's like, this ain't a tragedy. You just got busted. This is not a, you know, you're just facing some consequences.
Yeah.
But when people face certain difficulties in their life, then they're tempted to change the script. It's like, can we get past this now? I really don't want to be doing this in this season of my life. I want to be doing that.
Yeah.
And I think about King David. You know, God was writing his story, if you will. And Pat, he goes from a nameless and faceless boy who's tending a few couple sheep. And before you know it, he was presented with this opportunity of just bringing some lunch to his brothers who are on the front lines. And they're getting ready to, they're fighting Goliath. And in this one moment, this one season in his life, he goes from being a nobody, Steve, to facing Goliath.
The giant.
Taking his head off, having songs being written from him, and he went from, you know, Saul killed his thousands and David killed his tens of thousands, and he goes, Steve, I mean, just from that season in life, the next chapter brought him instant fame, it brought him wealth, it brought him tremendous favor with the king. I mean, at a certain point, David finds himself sitting at the king's table. Mm-hmm. He's got a chair at the king's table. He's best friends with the king's son. And the king said, you gonna marry my daughter? I mean, David's in there. He's like, man, life is grand. You know what I'm saying? I am in the circle. You know what I'm saying? I don't thank you, Father Jesse. You know what I'm saying? That was an awesome day when you told me to bring these guys some lunch. And here I am serving the king. Mm-hmm. And just like that, he went on this rise from being a little shepherd boy to being on typically what someone would say on top of his game or hitting the zone in his life. And within a short amount of time, it all went away. What do you do with that in life? What do you do when things are going well and you're working hard and doors are opening for you? And all of a sudden, it's like, it's gone. Well, David goes on this journey. And so throughout this journey, you know, I'm sure we're going to have to go to break here soon, but he goes on this journey, and we talk about the story that God's writing. I want to encourage you. Listen, God's writing a story. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Understand that, listen, just walk with him. That's the most important thing you could ever tell anyone. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Live for him only. Inquire of him. Seek his face and let him guide you every step of the way. We come back. We're going to continue to talk about David and how God is the author of all life. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Every man needs to hear encouraging words from his wife. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Here's Kathy Lipp explaining how important affirming words can be.
I think that affirming your husband can change the way he walks through the world. It can change his posture. It can change how he approaches other people. When he knows that his wife is at work or at home praying for him, has got his back, and believes in him, it changes the way he parents, because he parents with confidence now, knowing that he has somebody on his side. He can walk into work saying, you know what, work was terrible today, but I get to go home to somebody who cares about me, even if somebody here doesn't.
Your spoken praise, appreciation, and prayers play a vital role in helping your husband. For more trusted advice to help your relationship thrive, visit FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on... You see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here. Push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it. Sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that, because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we were just talking about how God's writing a story. God's writing a story, and hopefully let's not mess it up. That's what I tell myself. Don't mess it up, John. Don't mess it up. I mean, he's writing a story,
yeah.
And we're just a character in the play. We're just a character in the drama. We're not the main character. We're just a character, you know. Mm. He's developing our character within the character. And he's the one that's in charge. And oftentimes we're frustrated when we try to pick up the pen and write our own story in our own way. And God's like, dude, this is not going to work out for you. You need to allow me to do what I'm going to do in your life. And we're talking about David and how David went from a shepherd boy all the way to the highest you could imagine in the kingdom of Israel. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's sitting at the king's table, got favor with the king, his wealth, you know, what you would think would be maybe fame or favor. And like, he's the man right now. The guy, he's got a hit song on Jerusalem 100, you know? I mean, he's got it going on. And all of a sudden, he's a nobody now. Yeah. Seeming what the world would call a nobody. He loses everything. He loses favor with Israel, with the king of Israel, Saul. Pat, he's got no money.
Mm-hmm.
He's got no sword.
Right.
He doesn't even have food. I mean, it's like, so he went from being in, you know, having all these friends and just enjoying, you know, this wonderful season in his life, and now that season was over. And life can be like that. Mm. You know, you'll go through seasons of just awesomeness and blessing and just great things happening, and all of a sudden, you know, you enter into another season.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, what about that last season? That was kind of good.
Yeah, right.
What's going on now? Hey. But God's preparing you. He's developing your character in the drama. Just hang in there, right? Mm. So David goes around. He has to go to a priest for the sword. The priest is like, here's some bread, you know. And we find David later on. I mean, he's building himself up. You know, he gets a band of followers that were just, you know, distraught. And they had a whole bunch of issues. You know what I'm saying?
Bunch of riffraff.
Yeah. So, you know, David's like, okay, you know, this is my lot. I'm trying to make right with King Saul. Well, every time I talk to him, I'm getting spears thrown at me. I'm being set up. And I'm, you know, I'm having these encounters with him. And every single time, you know, 2, 3, 4 encounters, I think that possibly, maybe I can have favor back again. And I can, you know, do what maybe God's called me to do, and I can, you know, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And you can imagine David saying, the story is not supposed to be like this. God is not, you said I was going to be a king, you know? Mm. And I think so many people are, you know, believers are so, can be so messed up because they got this prophetic word. You know what I mean? It's like, well, God told me when I was 3, I was going to be like, hey, take that prophetic word and put that on the shelf. This is right. For somebody, believe me. Put that on the shelf and enjoy who God made you to be.
Mm-hmm.
A son or a daughter of God. That's the highest place you could ever be.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a son of the king, a son of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, hey, life is grand. But don't try to live up to something that maybe was spoken over. So you can imagine David saying, but the king, how is it ever going to be? How can I be the king?
Mm-hmm.
How is this going to fit here if the king now is trying to kill me? You know, if that's what was his frame of mind. So David, you know, winds up getting a band of men together, and he even had to seek refuge amongst the enemies. I mean, you think about it, just look at all the scenes in David's life, and he has to take refuge in the outskirts of where the Philistines were. And at one point, and I'm kind of fast-forwarding a lot here, but at one point, you know, the king of Gath, Achish, was getting ready to basically fight Israel. And David comes out with his fighting men. And, you know, apparently David had tremendous favor.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting himself to a certain place. He had men that he was leading. They were doing these raiding parties where they were just capturing all this loot and all this stuff from all these other surrounding areas. And, you know, he had an agreement with the king of Achish here. You know, it was like, hey, I'll allow you to have these areas. And we got this agreement going on.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he had a lot of favor with this king. But the other men, there was a problem. And this is what King Achish says in 1 Samuel chapter 29, verse 9. He says, Achish answered, I know that you have been as pleasing in my eyes as an angel of God. This is what he says about David.
Wow.
You've been as pleasing in my eyes. Nevertheless, the Philistine commanders have said that you must not go with us into battle.
Mm.
I mean, you're my boy now. We're down. You know what I'm saying? But these guys are not trusting you.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I have to follow this here. I'm going to have to send you away. So David's like, great. You know, I got these men following me. You know, now what? You know, this is what seemingly looked like a disrespect here.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go back. Well, he goes all the way back now to Ziklag where they've been camping. And they, to his probably shock and utter surprise, Ziklag, where they were, was totally raided, totally ransacked. They took all of their children. They took their wives. They burned their village. And the word of God says that David and his men wept bitterly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just, can you imagine, bawled their eyes out at that type of devastation. And you look at it, it's like, oh my goodness, look at this. What happened here? What happened? What's going on? You know, oftentimes, again, you know, life has those moments where maybe it's an untimely passing of someone. Everything was going great, great in your life professionally, but relationally, your family is in dishevels. You know, maybe your things are going wonderful at home. The marriage is being blessed. The children are just doing wonderful. You know, they're excelling in school and they're getting along. You know? But then maybe it's your own personal economy that's struggling.
Right.
You know. Maybe your economy and everything's great. You're serving the Lord. You're involved in the ministry and all this is good. But you have an ailment and you are sick in your body.
Mm.
And you're struggling with, am I even going to live? I mean, you know, I've got to deal with this sickness. Something about sickness is you got to deal with it. You can't make it go away.
Right.
It's your body. You wake up with it. You go to sleep with it. You got to deal with it. Here it is. And it's like, here I find myself in this season of my life. And I'm in a difficult situation, and you're either tempted to give up, you know, fall apart, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And here David, this is what David does. The first thing he does that he encourages himself in the Lord, because these men were now talking about stoning him.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about killing him.
Right.
It's like, okay, you know, the king, the thing. I mean, okay, is this how it's going to end? Is this how it's going to end?
Wow.
Just when I thought I was making a comeback, right. Just when I thought it was getting better, is this how it's going to end? I want to be stoned out of here after I lost my wife. I mean, is this it?
Mm-hmm.
And then after he encouraged himself, it's very interesting. He didn't inquire of the Lord first. He strengthened himself. He strengthened his faith first. Then he inquired of the Lord. I think there's a principle there that we can inquire God when we're stirred up in our faith and remembering what God has done. Then we seek the Lord from a place of position of faith, from a position of being stirred of the wonders of the Lord and what he's already done. Now, God, I set my face to, you know, to what you have to say. I tune my ears to your voice. I am full of all the things that you have done already in my life. And so I'm ready for the next direction. What do you say, God? What do you say?
Yeah.
And so God tells him, yeah, go back over there. Go get them. Go get your family. Go pull them all in here. You know, I'll give you victory.
All right.
Long story short, he finds a guy that was captive. They tell him exactly where it is. They defeat the people that took the family and the kids. Mm-hmm. They come back with all of this loot and all of this stuff. And then some of the men are like, don't give it to those guys. David's like, hey, this is a blessing right here. We're gonna give all this loot with everybody. And David starts just divvying up all this loot all across, you know, give it to this priest and give it to those people. And you're just grateful.
Mm-hmm.
When you come back from the brink, when you come back from a bad chapter in the story that God is writing, what seemingly seems to be a bad chapter, hold on. Don't make any rash decisions. Don't make a turn. Don't give up. Don't lose it, because Act 3 is coming. God's still penning he's still penning it. He's still writing it. And would you know that I believe 6 days later from Ziklag, David, because of what happened in that battle that he stepped away from, King Saul was killed in there, Jonathan was killed, and it was a transition that occurred. It was so stormy. Mm-hmm. Things happen in life like that where things were going well and everything is just converging at one time, and you went in, you know, the week started like this on Monday, and by Sunday, 10 different things changed in my entire life, it happens.
Wow.
And that was one of those convergent moments in his life where he went from Ziklag, total devastation, to becoming the king of Hebron in 6 days, and then later he became the king of all of Israel. Listen, don't give up. Be encouraged today. God is writing a story. Take the pressure off. Enjoy being a son and a daughter of the king. Live for God fully in the role that he has for you today. And as you're faithful, loving on him, doing what God's called you to do, being fully engaged and present, he will be the one to develop you and bring you into this next season, into this next open place for you so that you can flourish and do more great exploits for him. God's writing a story. Let's do our very best not to mess it up. Let's cooperate with the writer and the author of life. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I don't want to say this, too, before we go, that if you have not yet experienced the VFN Dream Center, you need to, on the Gulf Coast, or maybe virtually. You can go to VineFellowshipNetwork.org or VFMDreamCenter.org and come and experience every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Live on VFN TV, but also at 3 p.m. again, Central Time, and these are Central Times. Mm-hmm. The presence of the Lord was so powerful.
Yeah.
Last Sunday, and so there's nothing like the presence of God, and that's all we want. We just want to be with God. We're so grateful that he wants to be with us, but you can do that, and you can find out more how to get there or how to connect to us virtually by going to vfndreamcenter.org and find out the details on the front.
I do want to give a big shout-out and hello out there, I'm sure you do too, for all of our partners who partner with us on a monthly basis. I don't know if you know this or not, but people, you, and people like you say, you know what? This is good. This is good seed. Not only are they broadcasting the truth on television and radio around the nation and around the world, but they're actually telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're willing to take the blows in love, but telling the truth. And I could stand for that. As a matter of fact, this is what God said. This God's word says this, that if you give a drink of water, if you give a drink of water to someone who speaks truth in the name of God, you get that person's reward.
Mm.
Imagine if you become a partner. You say, this is my pledge for 2014. Every single month, I am going to pledge a financial contribution to the light. I want to keep the conversation light for 2014. And, you know, over one half of our reality being out there is because of you, because of partners. The other half is because of our sponsors, our businesses who stand with us, and it's so cool because in the whole journey since God called me out of the fires of Brownsville Revival, he called me into a realm of an interesting apostolic move because we've been seeing government, we've been seeing military, we've been seeing the businesses say, you know, this is good, mm-hmm. This is God. And I can't go into many details, but I can say this. If you go to VFNTV.com right now and look and click on See Our Partners, you'll see those businesses that are standing with us. And you'll also see a chance where you can become a sponsor who stands with us too. Stands with us by putting your shingle out there saying, I stand. I don't only have a fish on my sign. I have a fish on my heart, and I stand for God and country in that order. And I stand for Israel, and I stand publicly, unashamed. You can do that by becoming a partner with us. I want to say thank you to our partners that are standing with us. Thank you to our sponsors who are standing with us. Visit these businesses. I mean, they're so cool. I just love what they're doing. Show the difference of those who stand up for God. Say, you know what? That's where I'm going to buy my cookies. That's where I'm going to get my coffee. That's where I'm going to get my car fixed. That's where I'm going to bowl. That's where I'm going to seek entertainment for my family. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to these places. And if you want to be a part of those who are saying, I want to go there, hey, become a sponsor. We want people to know that you stand up for God and country in that order in Israel. We don't want to stop talking. All of 2014, as long as they let us talk, as long as God says he lets us do it, we want to tell people about you. We are proud of you. We are thankful for you, and we are grateful for you. And we just speak a blessing over the businesses in 2014 of those who stood up and said, you know what? I want everybody to know at Blue Angel Hot Tubs and Spas and Pools that even though I ship around the world, I want everybody to know I stand up for God and the principles and on every single one of them. And we just thank you so much. Visit them. Make 2014 commitment, not only to stand as a partner individually, but if you have a business, sponsor us. Let us promote you as you promote God. Let us make your business famous as you make Jesus' name famous.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm excited to be with you today. We have an exciting program for you. We want to give a special shout out to all of our listeners and viewers all across the country and really all across the world. We are honored to have this conversation and to be with you. God is just sharing and downloading so much. If you haven't had a chance lately, visit The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. And, you know, click on The Torch. There's over 3,000 highlights available there for you where you can just cruise and look and find just a wide variety of things that just been covered. There's prophecies, there's wisdom moments. But also, too, I want to encourage you to sign up for the newsletter. This goes out every single week, The Torch, and it gives you the best of the best, the highlights just in one you know, email, and it just comes into you, and you can sign up by texting VFNTV at 22828. Text VFNTV at 22828, and it's just that easy. Yeah. And sign up a friend while you're at it, and you'll have it right there in your email. I love seeing it because it's like, okay, this is the whole week, you know, and you can just click and listen, and then you can also forward it to a friend,
right?
And which is really awesome. But you know, before on our previous programs, we've been talking about how God is writing a story. And oftentimes that, you know, people have the tendency to get caught up in and not enjoying the season where they're at. There's no, you know, gratefulness. They get caught up. There's a tendency to be thinking about a better place or a better time. And there's nothing wrong with having vision. There's nothing wrong with seeing yourself moving forward. But there is something wrong with not being fully engaged where you're at in the season in your life. Because you're in that season for a reason. God has allowed you to enter that season. So the question is, God, what do you have for me here? What do you have in this season? How am I to respond? What do you have me to do? And when you're walking with the Lord and you're living a surrendered life, it's like, God, whatever you want me to do. You know, you're not your job. You're not your ministry. You're not your role. If you're a believer, you're a son or a daughter of God, and out of that love, out of sonship, allow God to bring you into that place that He wants you to bring. He's writing a story. Just don't pick up the pen. Don't mess it up. Don't kill yourself in the play. Don't sabotage the whole program here. You know what I mean? Because you know He'll bring characters in your life and He'll develop it along the way. But there's nothing like a beautiful life that's been surrendered to the Lord, and you can see how God was every which, you know, He was there at every turn. He was there at every moment. But if you lose sight of that, then you'll resent where you're at, and then you'll start being tempted to want to make your own way. And, and God would...
Jump to the end of the book.
Yeah. No. God, see, I was thinking it should go like this. Right. Can you write in for me that I needed this type of house and this type of... You know, or... Whatever.
Yeah, you can't skip process.
No.
Like I've learned over there, you just can't skip it.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, he's very patient. He has no problem. If you want to skip it, hey, it's all right. He'll let you go around that mountain one more
again.
Time. And again.
We've been here before. We've been here before.
Yeah, this looks familiar. Eerily familiar.
Isn't that something?
I'm ready to turn the page on that one.
Yeah, it's amazing, too. It's like all of a sudden we'll find ourselves in a place, and like, you know, all of a sudden you look back and you're like, the importance of that.
Yeah,
oh, right. And it starts to, things start to come into focus, and you start to understand those mountain journeys, and you're thankful for them, because at the time, not so much.
Mm-mm.
But they definitely serve a purpose.
Don't they? And also, too, about zigzag. I mean, have you guys ever experienced a zigzag in your life where it's total devastation? You just, like, the wind got sucked out of you for that moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, whatever we were planning, it's over for right now. It's just stop.
Right.
Stop. The wind has been, you know, what do I do? I mean, have you experienced those before in your life?
Definitely.
That was a big bug. He's like,
well, I just...
I mean...
Well, to me, I just think about those devastating moments when I was in the military, and those, you know, I won't go into too much of depth, but it's just like those days of loss of just absolute travesty and hardship that it's taken me a long time to get through, and it's through the relationships that God has placed around me now that helps me live my life to that much more life, and that much more of just like,
I appreciate your own life more.
Yeah, yeah. And for the longest time, I would get caught up in remembering those moments, and while the whole time I was neglecting my own gift of having life. Mm-hmm. And I just think about it. It's just like a lot of times we can get focused on the zigzags, but forget the purpose that the zigzag was for in my life.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? These zigzag moments, these devastating moments that take the wind out of us, there's just opportunity for us to cry out to God and say, God, what do you have next? I mean, I'm sure David was like, this is over. Mm-hmm. This is over. But he had no idea that a coronation day was coming. See, coronation day is coming. The blessing is coming. He's going to be a king.
Right.
The coronation day was coming, but if he got stuck at zigzag, if he got stuck and shut down and gave up and quit and said, oh, serving you, God, and I just got offended, and so I'm just going to give up. Well, okay. See if that works for you. You know, we'll see you on that mountain later, a little later.
Mm-hmm.
This was doing so good, and I was trying, but then it's like, no, hang in there. Hang in there. And you hang in there by, you know, you hear someone say, well, that's easier said than done. Well, listen, you got to go back to basics, right? I mean, if you left your abiding, go back to basics. Mm-hmm. Go back to 101 and go back to the things you did before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And spend time with the Lord. Slow down enough. Understand that, you know, only pride is in a rush. You're always in a rush and you're always trying to make things happen. Understand that that's a position of pride. Mm-hmm. But humility, a spirit of humility, is always okay with, all right, God.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here. Mm-hmm. You know, he made him. He makes you lie down in green pasture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He makes you lie down. If you're causing me to lie down in this pasture, I don't know if it's green right now, but if you're causing me to lie down here, then there's a reason.
Yeah,
there's a reason. This is where I will be. And so we got to take that with, okay, all right, Lord, now what?
Well, it makes me think about a lot of times, too, if you think about like in, I don't know if it's more like in sports or just those hardship moments, but, you know, I've heard it said before that success is holding on for 1 minute longer or holding on for 5 more minutes. If you would just push through those last couple seconds when you think it's over and you just hold on that little bit, you find out that was the end.
Yeah.
That was those last steps, those last few moments.
Yeah. And you're right. Most of these games, you look at these sporting events, it always comes down to the last 2 minutes. I mean, you play an hour, you know, play 2 hours of a sport, but it always comes down to the last couple of minutes. What are you going to do? And you don't know in life when those last 2 minutes are. And so we can begin to really enjoy. Oftentimes I speak to a lot of folks in my encounters. I know you guys do too, but it seems a lot of times that people are just kind of chugging through, pressing on, just trying to make it till Tuesday, trying to make it to Friday.
Yeah.
Trying to make it to the weekend.
Yeah. Trying to make it to the weekend. And they live for the weekend. So they live, it's like, and then if the weekend is rainy or something happened, it's like,
They have what do we do? Yeah. Their whole life is wrecked.
They have to work on a Saturday. It's done. It is horrible. And it's like, no, live every day. Live every day to the fullest. Don't live for a weekend or for a holiday. I mean, really, it's like they have, I call that calendar folks, right? Because it's like, okay, well, I know that, you know, start off with New Year's. It's New Year's in January. They're excited, you know, and they're planning the Super Bowl party in February, you know. March, you know, is spring right around the corner. Is you know, resurrection and Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, then you know that May the kids get out of school. Then you know we got summer vacation between June and August. You know, it's like, you know, October we got Halloween or whatever, and then Thanksgiving, and then we got Christmas. And it's like all these months people get caught up with these events and holidays that all they're living their life is for calendar dates.
Mm-hmm.
They're not living every single day.
What about today?
Yeah, with passion for this adventure with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're the story that he is writing becomes so much more enriched when you actually get involved in the process, when you get involved in what he is writing. So we're excited. Be sure to make sure that to get all the programs. You can always, like I said, catch us on vfntv.com, and you'll see that a lot of things that we are discussed are interwoven. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about wisdom moment, and how we need to apply the knowledge that we receive. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com. By the way, wisdom gained by John and material gained by us for the radio program. And here they are. They finally get on the plane at midnight. Of course, you got to go from Florida, Miami, Florida, which is basically Cuba. You're 90 miles away from Cuba, so it's a long ways away, geographically speaking. And then you got to fly all the way up to New Jersey. And you're thinking, well, look, we're going to sleep. This is a great time to sleep. But no, they had not yet gained the wisdom that you don't feed your little girl a big Coke.
Oh, no.
He sent me this picture of Maya, man. She's looking. This is midnight now. And I can tell in a still shot, I can tell she had an adrenaline just cranked to the max, sort of like Arnold Schwarzenegger, dear Mr. Universe. She's like, ah! And I'm looking like, oh, they're not going to sleep the whole flight, you know. So wisdom, if you're about to get on a plane, project in advance. You don't want to give sugars to your children.
Or caffeine.
Caffeine. And imagine if it's a long flight, you're going to want to sleep, and everybody on the plane is going to want to sleep. It reminds me of Bill Cosby talking about that time. He says he was this little single mother was on an airplane with her child, and the whole time the child was just like, Maya wasn't doing this, but this child was like just turned backwards and talking to everybody, wouldn't let nobody sleep. Was just like, talking, and crying, doing all kinds of different things. And everybody was just wired this whole flight. And then right before, it says, please buckle your seatbelts. We're coming in for a landing. The kid just passes out. Boom. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and of course, everybody's like,
experiencing another social experiment inside of them. And she grabs this little boy, and he's just draped over her arms, you know, just passed out, innocence, and carries him in both her arms off the plane, down the ramp, and carries him, and the father's coming to meet them. Mm-hmm. And she takes the son, and she puts the son in the father's arms, and then she knocks the stew out of him.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Yeah, he's like, don't ever let me fly alone with this boy. He's like, how stressful it was. Oh, I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what Bill Cosby did it. He told that story.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We want to share with you a little bit about wisdom. You know, we have, you go to VFN, go to VFNTV.com and go to the Torch. You will see on the Torch that we have a segment there for you, a section for you called Wisdom Moments. And when you click on it, you'll find that there is so many different wisdom moments there for you out of the book of Proverbs, and they're so encouraging. And we often talk about that it's important to have knowledge, but, you know, with knowledge, you got to know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. People are like, well, I got a word of knowledge. What are you going to do with it? You need a word of wisdom, too. Mm-hmm. It's the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom working together, because you got to know how to apply the knowledge that God's given you. And when I think about that, I think about Proverbs 8. And when Proverbs 8, you know, the word of God depicts wisdom as a woman that's calling out in the streets, calling out to the simple, raising mm-hmm. her voice and mm-hmm. saying, come here. I've got something to tell you. And it goes on to say that in verse 6, it says, listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. Listen to this, Pat. To the discerning, all of them are right. Mm-hmm. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. And then she says, choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Hmm. I mean, that's how precious wisdom, the wisdom of God. There's worldly wisdom, mm-hmm. and then there's godly wisdom. And godly wisdom is so important. And I think about King Solomon, you know, when he cried out as a boy, said, I'm going to be king. Can you just give me wisdom? Yeah, right. I just need wisdom. And God said, just because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you all this other stuff, too. Hmm. But you've chosen right. And a lot of things, you know, people are trying to acquire and to get. One of the things that you got to have in life is you have to have biblical, godly wisdom to know what to do with the information that you're receiving. Mm-hmm. And Proverbs is beautifully set up by divine providence that there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And there just happens to be, 31 days in every month. Mm-hmm. You can, every day, choose to read the proverb that corresponds with the day in the month. So if today's the 22nd, the, you know, 23rd, whatever the day is of the month, you would read that day's proverb, you know, chapter 21 or 23, and just allow that wisdom just to, you know, wash over you and to impart to you what you need. Yeah. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I've been reading Proverbs, my goodness, 18 years. I mean, it never gets old. Right. It never gets old. It never, ever, ever gets old. And that's how truth is. It's how the scripture is, because mm-hmm. it's living, it's breathing. You know, it's sharper than a double-edged sword, and it penetrates. It penetrates our hearts. And that's what we want to do when we're abiding. We want to allow the word of God to penetrate us and literally take the sword that Rick Joyner talks about in the Torch and the Sword mm-hmm. and allow it to touch our heart and let it penetrate. And we don't want to go to a place where we're going through the book. We want the book, the word of God, to go through us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not something to check off in the morning. These are things to check yourself, to ask yourself, am I just going through this so I can say check? Or am I allowing the words of Jesus to go through me today? When they go through you, they change you. Because it's a living word. And then that word, that living word, becomes a now rhema word. And it's a revealed word to you. He says he's hidden these things from the learned, but he's revealed them and unveiled them to children. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing all the things that Jesus talks about, you know, regarding children. It's really amazing because he says, you know, listen, come to me as a child. Mm-hmm. Don't hinder the children from coming to me. Let them come to me. And unless you become like a child, right. Unless you become like a child, well, think about children. They're innocent. Well, let's not look at Pat's, you know, we can't. All right, Steve, we'll talk about you. Okay. They're innocent. They were nice. When you think about children, young, small kids. He's still stuck on that. All I have to say is Second Street, and then maybe some things will pop up or something. But
I'm just trying to figure out where did his kids come from.
I think that's why he's
his kids.
No, I'm talking about himself when he was a kid. He was a child. Steve was a child. He was a child once, you know.
I didn't live on Second Street.
He wasn't the strapping Marine that he is today, but, you know, he was a child once. What I was talking about, children, Pat, work with me here. Okay,
I'm with you, man.
Talking about children. That when we embrace that type of, you know, they don't have hindrances. They don't have things that hold them back. They believe. I remember Pastor Van Lane. He was a children's pastor at Brownsville Assembly of God during the Brownsville Revival. And I remember talking to him one day and passing. We were just talking in the hallway. And I go, Van, what's up? And he just looked wrecked, you know, perplexed rather. And he's telling me all the things that were happening with the children during this move of God. You understand that the children were, I mean, they were leading worship in children's church. They were running sound in children's church. Running cameras in children's church. Wow. I mean, they were having an awesome time in God. They had a prayer team.
Wow.
They were praying for each other and their faith was amazing. He said, what do you do when one of your children in the children's church has more faith to pray that they don't need braces anymore and they're at the altar praying that God can straighten those teeth out? Mm. And he's just like, they're challenging me. They're stretching me. You know, they're going for it. They don't know any hindrances. So the children would come up and they would pray for each other. And those who are on the prayer team would say, what are your prayer needs? And one of the child says, I don't want to get braces. I want to believe that God can straighten my teeth. And so all the kids are going for it. They're praying, straighten their teeth in the name of Jesus. And they saw so many awesome things with, you know, this is what happens. And so God wants that for us. He wants us to come to a place where we can, you know, humble ourselves. It's amazing how, you know, the more you grow and the more it's the information, it's the knowledge that clouds our ability, you know, to really trust God. The more knowledge you get filled, the more you think that you can figure that you know something out. It's like, oh, no, they're dying by degrees. No more. She learned something. He learned something. Right. Become dangerous.
Yeah.
Because you start resting on your knowledge instead of on the Spirit of God. You start resting on what you think you know. Because we all know a piece and a part. So, I mean, don't get so filled and confident on the little part that you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Since God is limitless. I remember about Dolores Winder, and we shared about her on VFN Radio and VFN TV, about her amazing miracle that happened in her life she got healed at a Catherine Coleman, you know, ministry.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's just amazing. Absolutely amazing. Her back was completely, you know, just paralyzed, and God healed her. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Well, I'll never forget. She told me, never forget. I was staying with her and her husband and a couple other guys as well for some ministry. And she says one night she's talking, and we're just sitting down in the living room. She's just talking. Mm-hmm. And the presence of God just literally just came right on into the living room. I mean, in such dimension. There's three grown men. We're bawling. We can't even contain ourselves. Like, what just happened here? God just walked in the room. And it's so interesting because you look at so many different things, you know, sometimes you're like, you don't have to work it up, brother. Just, you know what I'm saying? Let God just do what he's going to do and he'll take over. But I look at her, I look at Bob Jones, you know, Dolores wasn't the type of person to promote her ministry. She just spoke out of what God was doing in her life and God just showed up. And she said some of the most profound things during that time and season. But one of the things that I remember was she says, you don't have to know everything. She told us, you don't have to know everything. She says, but you do have to know God. She goes, and she says, the Holy Spirit, just ask the Holy Spirit. He knows everything, and he'll tell you what you need to know when you need to know it. And it was like a mega pop of like, boom, like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. And she was at that, I forget her age. She was up in age at that time. But it was amazing, the zeal and the passion. Steve, we were talking about hunger for God in one of our programs, but that she had. And this is what wisdom does. When we are abiding with God, we're spending time receiving from him, God will begin to share with us wisdom from the Word, wisdom for our lives, decisions. You think about all the decisions you have to make on any given day, Pat.
Constantly. I mean, there's many times. I mean, that what you were just saying, I've had to cry out to the Holy Spirit. In a given moment, it's like, I need a word right now. What's going on here?
Yeah.
And if I'll be quiet long enough, he'll tell me.
Isn't that beautiful?
And listen. But you got to ask. Most of the time, we're trying to pull out of our own.
Trying to remember it all.
Yeah, out of our own knowledge.
Right.
When he's got it all.
Oh, my goodness.
He's waiting for us to ask.
Yeah, he's just waiting.
That's all you have to do. Mm-hmm. Listen, knowledge is wonderful. That's great, but it has its place. What we need is the wisdom and the revelation of God. And the more we abide, the more we spend time with him, the more we run after him and allow ourselves to get hungry for him, and we set that time apart. We tune our ears to his voice, and we ask. We ask. He's a gentleman. He made it, I just tell you, ask. And when you ask, you shall receive.
Right.
Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want to say? Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Speak so that I can do. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.